I guess that, at some point in that interest in topiary and so on, I realized that gardens were a very common thing everywhere, it seemed. I mean, everywhere from Japan to China to Europe, Vancouver, everywhere. And why did people create these gardens in front of their houses or in and parks and, you know, they and public gardens and estates and so on? And I realized that there was something going on here there was kind of like there was something every day about it. On the one hand, I mean, they're very common, and on the other hand, they all had odd things in them that seem to have some kind of historical resonance about them, you know, like there might have been a building in the garden, like a kind of a temple, perhaps. And of course, in India, you find gardens that are temples, like they seem to go together. Temples seem to go together with gardens. So I started doing research on all this, and I came up with ideas about the garden as a kind of a work of art, if you like, or maybe it was like an assembly of art. I kind of think maybe it was like in a garden. It's a bit like going to a museum. You go from room to room, and you you see something in the room, you know. And so I broke it down into 9 categories in the garden of the pre-garden, if you like the wilderness. I called it bee wilderness, that's where you see where man hasn't had such an influence on it, where everything is wild and everything's growing together in a sense. And out of that bee wilderness, you come into the garden through a gateway. So that's the second category. There's a gateway. And then, because the gateway, in many respects, the garden was enclosed, it might have had a wall around it. Usually that's the case, especially in more drier countries like Iran or Persia, where they would enclose, the garden would be an enclosed space. Or even before that, maybe in Babylonian times, that kind of thing, where the ruler would have a hunting park and it would be enclosed. So all these things contributed to the idea of the garden. And then after the gateway, you might have some guardians of the gateway, some kind of, like in the Garden of Eden story, you have the seraphim, right? Those kind of little putties these had swords and so on. If you weren't supposed to come into the garden, then you would be scared away by these fearsome protectors of the gateway. Or you might find those images, if you like, or sculpture-type imagery throughout the garden. And I kind of thought, well, maybe these are memories of the people and animals that used to live in paradise. You might see them throughout the garden in some way. And then there was the pathway through the garden, which led from the gateway all the way through to the end of the garden. And all the things that happened along the pathway, there would be the next one would be a kind of an open space or a closed space, like the field or the courtyard. And then you would come after that, and sometimes in that courtyard you'd have a maze or what's another name for a maze? Anyway,
labyrinth.
I'm
just going to interrupt by saying Glenn is walking us through these groups. So from the wilderness or bewilderness, now we're at the cloister with the maze.
Yes, that's right. All right.
Yeah, so you can sort of follow along as he's talking through these.
Yeah, actually, that's good. I hadn't really realized that you'd done that. That's great.
And then you end up in the water. Yeah.
Yeah. you can put the trees before the water or water after the trees. It doesn't really matter. I mean, there's and sometimes you get everything in one picture, but depending on it. So there are the trees, the sacred trees, after the things, and then you get the waterways too. And the waterways have three components. There's the source, or the waterfall, where the water's coming out of. And then you have the river or the stream, and then you have the pool or pond. The pond's interesting in that it's got this surface, which some people think of as the earthly paradise. Then you get the underworld, and then you get the heavens reflected in the surface. And then you come to the sacred mountain after the trees, the sacred mountain. That sometimes you'll notice that temples have they'll have the dome, and then on top of the dome is the, I'm not sure, Tetra Valley or something like that. Charlie might know what it's called. It's like the symbol of the tree, the sacred tree on the very top. Anyway, the temple is the sort of manifestation of the mountain, if you like, the sacred mountain. And then you finally come to the grotto, the cave in the mountain, maybe. And sometimes that's the source of the water also. And so then the cave again is sort of, I guess, in a way, like another opening, like another gateway. And the whole process is like from birth till death, basically. The picture of life as you go through it.